Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, it's almost dinner time. What are you doing? My suggestion, Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Absolutely love this place. I've been talking about them for a long time, and for good reason. It is the only barbecue place I go to because I think their food is outstanding. And I'm talking about not just the barbecue options, but the non-barbecue options. And the sides are fantastic. And here's something else. When's the last time you went to a barbecue joint and you said, I got to get dessert? Their desserts are ridiculous. Listen, I know that I represent Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. The place is sickening good. It is really that good. Danny, I know you've been there. Mace, I know you've been there. It's the only place you should go to. There are a lot of barbecue places in town. I get that. Try Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. You can find them in Centennial off of Arapahoe Road. You could also find them in North Denver. Try them. And I can promise you, you won't go anywhere else. I'm sure of that. That's how good they are.
That's a bold statement, but you know what? Having been to Smokin' Dave's,
there are a lot of good barbecue places out there. Smokin' Dave's the best.
I can tell you that it stacks up, and you know me, I'm a barbecue enthusiast, kind of like you're a pizza guy. Being from Chicago.
Love Marco's Pizza.
I've got deep roots in North Carolina. Been to Kansas City quite a bit. Spent time in St. Louis.
Right.
Been around a lot of good barbecue places, and Smokin' Dave's would pass the test with any of the great places I've been to in North Carolina, for example.
No question about it. And we're going to give away $20 in the second hour of the show if you want to go there on us. In the meantime, time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
All right, ESPN's David Schoenfeld gave grades to all of the teams in Major League Baseball at the All-Star break, and the Rockies checked in with a D, which doesn't stand for dandy. This is what he wrote. The Rockies, not really any worse than anyone expected. The on-field product is lackluster, and the lack of direction, as indicated by the recent report that the Rockies informed other teams they're not engaging in trade talks until after the All-Star game. I guess multitasking is hard. That is a reflection, as Schoenfeld continues to write, is a reflection on Dick Monfort, who has also quipped and did so in February that he thought of firing himself. Rockies fans are waiting for that. It could be worse, though. The Minnesota Twins got an F. Arizona Diamondbacks got an F minus. How would you grade the Rockies so far this season?
When does the grading period start? The beginning of the regular season, or does it start back in February or January?
Oh, because you're talking about the Arenado thing?
Right. I mean, are we excluding the Arenado trade
We're talking about the on-field product.
On-field product. Are we grading on a curve?
Why would we do that?
Okay. I mean, you're grading on the on-field. If you're not grading on a curve, it's a D.
Yeah.
Because you can't, and here's why you can't give it an F, starting pitching. Because they have, through trades for prospects and development of their own prospects, they have cobbled together something that they probably have only had once, maybe twice in their history, and that is a reliable rotation that keeps them in games. Germán Márquez, a justifiable all-star. You know, Kyle Freeland, rough when he first came back, his starts have progressively gotten better. They've gotten plenty of quality starts from John Gray. So that rotation alone keeps this from being an F. I mean, or an F minus. The Diamondbacks, for example, are an F minus.
I wouldn't grade them that low.
The Diamondbacks?
No, the Rockies.
Okay, even on the curve.
What or curve? Even without a curve. What kind of curve is it? What kind of curve are you referring to?
If you're grading,
you know what curve means? We're giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, what kind of benefit of the doubt should they be getting?
If you're giving them if you're grading on a curve, that is your expectations of what the students' expectations were coming into the season. If you grade them on a curve, they're probably about a C, but not a curve, they're a D.
I would give them a D plus or a C minus, and I'll tell you why. I understand games played factors into the decision, but they are tied for the second most home wins in baseball.
What about their road record? Does that not count?
Well, that's what yanks it down.
Yeah.
That's what throws an anchor on it, and then you toss the entire body into the Atlantic Ocean.
At home, they're an A.
They are.
They really are.
Right.
It's a good product. If it's all about the product for the paying customers, when they're paying to see you, the Rockies get an A.
I got to tell you something.
That only counts for half.
If you would have told me at the All-Star break the Rockies would be 11 games under 500, I would have taken it. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, because I figured they would lose 100. Instead, they're only on pace to lose 90.
So how many more games do they have left?
Well, what is their record right now?
51 and 40. They've played 90.
Or 40 and 51.
40
right?
and 51. They've played 91 games. They play 162. Okay. So what's the matter? They have 71 games left?
Yeah, so they're 11 below and they have 71 games left. So they're on pace to be 71 and 91.
Okay. Not very good.
No.
I'm with you on that, but if you would have told me they'd be 11 games under 500 at the All-Star break, I thought they'd have the Diamondbacks record at 26 and 66.
Now, it's worth noting, A, they've played 48 games at home and 43 on the road.
So and that's why I said
yes,
they have played more games at home than other teams.
Right.
I'm with you
and there. But they did just take 2 out of 3 from the Padres before the All-Star break. That was easily their best road series of the season in terms of the outcome and the quality of the opponent. But
they're going to get kicked in the teeth right out of the break.
They are.
Because they're playing the Dodgers.
They have L.A. coming.
But they're at home.
It's at home, but they are playing L.A. They've already lost a home series earlier this year to L.A., so wouldn't be surprised to see them lose it again. And then, of course, what happens in the next 3 weeks in terms of losing players at the trade deadline if they make trades, and that's the key thing, if they make them.
Well, I got to tell you something. I talked to somebody very much in the know. He is a longtime former Major League Baseball executive, and he is as tapped in to what is going on around baseball and team by team pretty much as anyone I know. And we had a long conversation about this, and I am not suggesting that the Rockies are not going to trade Trevor Story, but I would give it about a 5 to 10% chance that they don't. Now you're thinking, why in the hell would the Rockies not trade Trevor Story? He is going to leave. And that is true. The problem for the Rockies is they don't know who they want from other teams because they don't have the right people in place to understand what other minor league systems have. They have lost 2 executives over the last month. One of the guys, his last name is Wild. Can you look up what his first name was? That was a supposed mutual parting, I believe. Or was that not the mutual parting? Are you looking this up right now?
Yeah, technically they've all been, they've been framed as mutual parties.
Which guy's Wild?
You had Zach Wilson, who was the farm director.
Correct.
Who resigned
last
month.
Yes, and the other guy is...
I'm looking up the name right now.
The last name is Weil. He was in charge of basically pro scouting. You know what pro scouts do?
They monitor the minor league system.
Yes, they do. So
else.
How in the world could the Rockies know what they want out of somebody else's system?
John Weil,
when they don't have anybody in place to give any information on that. So from what I have been told, Bill Schmidt, who quite frankly is not that well known around baseball, it's not like Bill Schmidt is calling Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman is probably thinking, "Hi, Bill, who are you?" That's how the conversation is probably going. But this is what I've been told about how the conversations are going. Let's say they're talking to Brian Cashman with the Yankees. And the Yankees say to Bill Schmidt, the interim GM, "Hey, what are you looking for in return?" Mm-hmm. And from what I've been told, and this is a quote, Bill Schmidt has been saying, "Let me get back to you." Every team that they have talked to, and right now they're saying they haven't talked to anybody. They have talked to people. Please give me a break. Every conversation is, "Let me get back to you." You know what "let me get back to you" means is? We don't know who's in your farm system, so we have to research these guys. And the guy who knew the most is gone. So, I have been told that the Rockies are terrified to trade Trevor Story because they are afraid it's going to be the same backlash as Nolan Arenado. They're not going to get the right guys in return. They certainly don't know who to ask for in return. So if you wind up keeping Trevor Story through the trade deadline, Mace, why don't you explain to everybody what happens when the season is over and Trevor Story is technically on the roster but about to become a free agent? What happens?
What happens is this. You can give what's called a qualifying offer.
Qualifying offer. And it's going to be about $18 to $19 right. million.
Which means that if they don't sign anywhere else, you are paying that player $18 or $19 million next year. So you'd have to account for that budget-wise.
Somebody's going to pay Trevor Story right. $18 to $19 million.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
If the player then leaves, goes somewhere else,
the Rockies get
a first-round draft pick.
And then Bill Schmidt is in his wheelhouse, and he knows about the draft.
Right.
So, I don't think the Rockies will go down that road, but I will tell you, I will not be surprised. And when July 30th rolls around later this month, and if the Rockies don't trade him, people are going to say, what are you, stupid? But the truth is, that was a calculated risk that they are taking, and what they're really saying is, we don't know what we're really getting in return, but also let's throw another log on the fire. Contenders don't need shortstops, and those are the teams that are going to be competing. The Yankees, I'm sorry, right now they're not contenders. You look at the Cleveland Indians. They are not winning that division with the White Sox, and their rotation is a little bit shaky right now.
And there are budget issues in Cleveland as well, significant ones.
Correct, and the A's don't make those type of moves. Those are the three most logical choices, and I don't know if they're going to offer much, if anything.
I mean, really what you're thinking, I say this wearing a Braves hat, what you're hoping is that there's some team that has an underperforming shortstop.
Well, there is a team out there.
Yeah.
The A's.
The A's. But also a team like Atlanta, who has Dansby Swanson, who isn't performing at his career norms, and they do need another bat somewhere in the lineup because of Ronald Acuña's injury, and maybe they get an itchy trigger finger and say, let's go for an upgrade. Let's bring in Trevor Story for a couple of months to see what happens.
Well, the question is, what do they give up? And really, think about this.
The Rockies, now that's interesting because some of the Braves' more highly regarded prospects are not playing well. So you might think that's where Atlanta might try to take advantage of the Rockies' lack of knowledge.
I got news for you. The Atlanta Braves should sit tight.
They should.
You know why? They're a game under 500. I understand they're only four games out of first place. They're sure as hell not winning the wild card.
No.
They're going to have to win the division.
Against a team with a stacked rotation in the Mets. They're better off just maybe.
Yes, they are.
They're better off doing short-term selling, as in if they're not in the plans for 2022, right. Go ahead. Maybe you get some guys with longer team control. Trevor Story
doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense unless they close the gap on the Mets in the next 2 weeks.
All right, coming up after the break, CBSSports.com. Boy, they love Josie Jewell. I don't know if I really get the love, but they do. And they think he is in line for a big contract. Wow. We'll talk about that next. Wonder how you managed to make ends meet.
There's something happening here.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are a business owner, you know that having the right location, having the right brick and mortar is very important. So if you are looking to buy, sell, or lease, I can tell you the team that you need to work with, that is Impact Commercial Real Estate and the lead, Heather Taylor. She has put together an outstanding staff of 9 people with over 50 years of experience. They are hands-on. They think out of the box, creative, thoughtful. They have dynamic real estate services. This is why their brokers are ranked in the top 10 in the Denver metro area. Don't just go with anyone. Go with a commercial real estate firm that is highly ranked in Denver. Why wouldn't you do that? So if it's buying, selling, leasing, their experience, yeah, large developers and small business owners, they're going to make an impact for you. Seriously, go with the best. The best is Impact Commercial Real Estate. You can find them at impactcommercial.co. That's impactcommercial.co. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
Okay, CBSSports.com suggests that Josie Jewell, who's going into a contract year, is in line for a big deal after this season, as they consider Jewell one of the top underrated players in the AFC. This is what they wrote. The former fourth-round pick out of Iowa took a huge step forward in 2020 in 16 starts, 113 combined tackles, two sacks, four passes defensed, and recorded a career-high AV. You want to explain what that means?
Annual value.
Of 8. I'm guessing that's good. Pro Football Focus even ranked Jewell as the 19th best linebacker in the NFL entering this season. He has one more year left on his contract, and he will receive plenty of attention if he can again improve his game. You buying this?
I feel like they just went and looked at the raw Pro Football Focus ranking and said, okay, well, this guy is near the top. Let's go ahead and pay him. Let's go ahead and say that he should be paid.
Now, can I say this real quick?
Yes.
I never want to say anything negative about good guys in that locker room.
And Josie Jewell is as good as guys. There's
great guy.
But here's the thing about
Josie Jewell's a great guy.
What he does best is defend the run. Historically speaking, now if you want to go by the Pro Football Focus grades last year, his coverage grade wasn't that much lower than his run defense grade, but in the first 2 years of his career as a run defender, somebody who can fill the gaps, won't miss tackles. He's somebody who excelled, but he didn't excel in coverage. And unfortunately for Josie Jewell, given where the skill sets are going today and what gets rewarded on the contract market, it is coverage linebackers who are the more rare species, good coverage linebackers who are going to get paid. And he's a guy who excels as an in-the-box run stuffer who is okay in coverage but not great.
You know who he reminds me of? And granted, I think this player was better than Josie Jewell. And when I say his name, you're going to be like, oh, no, there's no comparison. And you can certainly make that case. You know when you say it's this guy light?
Yes.
Like this guy light? Uh-huh. He is light. Josie Jewell is Chris Spielman, light.
That's fair. That's
high football IQ, terrific tackler, and in today's game, Chris Spielman would have a tough time staying on the field on all three downs.
Right, and it's the three-down linebackers that get paid.
Yep.
And, I mean, just look at what the
He's not athletic.
Right.
And neither is Spielman.
And what have the Broncos been looking for when they've targeted linebackers in the middle rounds? They're looking for guys who can cover. They're looking for speed. Justin Strenod, who they picked last year, and they still have high hopes for. Justin Strenod is purely a coverage linebacker. That's his skill set.
Right.
He's long. He's got speed. He can read the quarterback's intent well. The Broncos like Baron Browning, their third-round pick, because they feel like he has the skill set and the athleticism to be a coverage linebacker, and that makes him a potential three-down linebacker. Strenod's more of a sub-package specialist. Browning is somebody that they believe could be a three-down linebacker. And that's what could make Josie Jewell expendable. Now, is he going to have value? Is he going to stick around, whether he's with the Broncos or somebody else? Yeah, he has value, but two-down linebackers, and increasingly as we see more sub-packages being used, maybe sometimes one-down linebackers, they're not going to have the same value contract-wise, so I don't know if he's going to get that big score that CBS suggests he will.
What I'm about to say is not going to sound fair, because you're going to say, Eric, how in the world can you compare these two guys? And I like
how you're kind of trying to anticipate my response.
Not your response.
No, but I completely agreed with you on your Chris Spielman take.
Well, thank you.
With Josie Jewell.
I'll say something as well. If this guy wasn't such a knucklehead and an absolute disaster as a human being, the Broncos would have been fools not to take Micah Parsons out of Penn State.
Yes.
They would have gladly replaced Josie Jewell with Micah Parsons because his talent is unquestioned. And Josie Jewell would have been a special teams guy pretty much for the entire season. So, Micah Parsons is a disaster as a person. And I say that with absolutely no regrets from the stories I've heard about this guy. Good luck, Dallas. You drafted the right guy, the perfect guy to wear the star, because that is your history in drafting guys who have problems, because that's the Jerry Jones way. We don't care about character. We just care if you have talent.
I think here's the thing you know about Micah Parsons in particular. If he had the character of Pat Surtain.
Oh, goodness. He might have been a top five pick.
Yes, he would. He wouldn't have gone any lower than fifth.
Nope.
A three down linebacker who can cover, rush the passer, is a good tackler, has speed. That's a unicorn. Skill set wise, Micah Parsons is a unicorn. Much more so than Pat Surtain. With all respect to Surtain, but character matters. Yeah. Off field character, football character, all of it matters in the equation. And that look. That's why Micah Parsons isn't a Denver Bronco and Pat Surtain is.
You know what a tackling inside linebacker is today? A fullback. Kind of being phased out. Kind of like a goon in hockey being phased out. You have to be able to play all three downs because there is so much speed in the game. Josie Jewell would have been a terrific player in the NFL 10 years ago. He just doesn't have the athleticism to stay on the field for three downs.
Well, he's still terrific at what he does.
Correct, but he's not a three-down right. linebacker, and you certainly don't want to put him in coverage at all. You don't want him on the field in coverage because he is a liability, and you know a good offensive coordinator and a good quarterback is going to pick on him all day. So if you're going to leave him out there in a passing situation, you are hiding him.
We've even seen that. Remember back in 2018 when he lined up against Antonio Gates?
Oh.
Antonio Gates, by that point in his football life, was roughly the size of a vegetable truck. And he had no
truck. Is that good or bad?
That's not good.
Size of a vegetable truck? Or when he ran, you said unhook the trailer.
Either or. Let's just say in the as was said in Stripes, he probably swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas.
A lot of pizzas.
And Antonio Gates had no problem escaping right. Josie Jewell. And with Jewell, I remember studying him leading into the 2018 draft, and. You know, because some people said, hey, take a look. I had a couple of friends who were from Iowa said, hey, what do you think of Josie Jewell? And I kind of took a deep dive on him a couple months in the draft. And the thing that jumped out, again, it was kind of what we've seen as a pro. Inside the box, making tackles, the guy doesn't miss. He's got really good instincts.
He does.
For reading run plays as they develop.
He's very good at that.
And that's going to give him value in base sets. But there was one, I remember watching him try to cover Troy Fumagalli.
Right.
Eventually played for the Broncos. Troy is no one's idea of a speed demon, right?
No.
And when Fumagalli made his cut and got outside on Jewell, he had several yards of separation.
Right. It was like a Jerry Jeudy route on pretty much everybody.
Yeah, and that's why Jewell, All-American linebacker at Iowa, great run defender. It's why he was a fourth-round pick instead of a first-round pick.
He would have been great 10 years ago. He's got a good football IQ, terrific special teams player. He's really good against the run, but it doesn't suit today's NFL, just like a fullback. Generally speaking, unless you play in Kyle Shanahan's offense, the fullback is pretty much extinct, and so will a run-stuffing middle linebacker moving forward.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of a specialist, somebody who maybe is in your starting lineup but is playing about 50% of the snaps. That being said, at the right price, somebody who also really understands the defense and can kind of explain concepts to other players, Jewell will have value, but he's not going to have big contract value.
So you're probably thinking, why in the world are we going to be talking about the New England Patriots in our next segment? Well, here's the reason why. Broncos fans love it when former Patriots players trash Bill Belichick. We got a story about that next. Too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Is this a mean tweet that I'm about to put out? I'll let you be the judge. Will Barton has until this weekend to exercise his $14.6 million option. He keeps telling us he's a starter in this league. Generally speaking, veteran starters don't make $14.6 million. Will, test the market to see if you're a starter.
Ooh. Yeah, that's mean. That's mean.
How should I phrase it to make it nicer?
Maybe this is one where you just put the stallion back in the barn.
You think so?
Yeah. What? Okay.
Danny, should
what,
I put...
What benefit is
first
there...
First of all, I'm not a stallion.
Yeah, what benefit is there to putting that into the digital media sphere?
Because I don't like this guy saying he's a starter, A, when he's injured all the time, and he's not a starter.
And yet, at the same time, even though he's been injured over the last three regular seasons... Mm-hmm. He has started all but nine of the games in which he has played. When he's healthy, he is a starter.
Well, good. Go make starters money. Don't force the Nuggets to pay you 14.6.
The reason why his salary may not be what being a starter reflects it as is because, as the cliche goes, the best ability is availability, and Will Barton too often has not been available, especially in the postseason the last 2 years.
Yep.
I mean, how many playoff games has he played in the last two years? Oh yeah, three.
Two words, not a lot.
Three playoff games. Now, to his credit, in those three playoff games, he averaged 16.3 points a game.
Good. I want to see him test the market.
What do you think he'll find?
$14.7 million. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
Former Patriots linebacker Cassius Marsh, who played nine games of the Pats in 2017, says wasn't a fan of the Bill Belichick way and the way he ran the team. Quoting Marsh, the Patriot way is pretty. It's impressive. Like they work day in, day out. The work ethic over there, what they instill is pretty legendary. Sounds pretty good, right? Then he goes on to say, but they also treat their players like crap. You don't have a lunch period. You get there and you have to make time to eat in between meetings. And there are like 5 to 10 minute periods where I would literally go scoop food and put it in a cup and like just crush it real quick before I got into the next meeting. It's just like there's no BS there. There's no fun. How do you feel about this criticism that there isn't enough time to eat?
It's not the first time that we have heard the culture established by the Patriots or people who are Patriots acolytes criticize them. Frankly, a lot of this sounded like the criticisms of the Lions when Matt Patricia was there, when he tried to take all the aspects of the Patriot way and instill them in the Detroit Lions.
Never seen that with Josh McDaniels. The whistle twirling twerp, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Remember it well.
Napoleon 2.0, the little man who wanted to be big. Do your job!
Yeah.
You know what, Josh? If you did your job and listen to other people, you might still have a head coaching job.
You know what? I remember watching that moment you're referring to when he chews out the offensive line in that Thanksgiving night game against the Giants in 2009.
Remember, I was in Meeker, Colorado watching it, and I was like, whoa!
It was one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever seen. And Rick Dennison was still the O-line coach that year. Remember?
Right.
There were a few coaches that stayed on. Rico stayed on. Bobby Turner stayed on.
Right.
And they were gone after that year.
Right.
Turner went to Washington and Mike Shanahan, for example. The look on Dennison's face was just so pained and agonized. I mean, it was kind of emasculating for him as the O-line coach, the head coach is coming in and chewing his guys out. But I mean, I think he just understood the discomfort of it and the sheer lunacy of it. I remember, Richard Quinn, remember him? Mm-hmm. Not a great Bronco, but remember Josh McDaniels dressing him down in a game in Jacksonville in 2010?
The stories about Josh McDaniels.
And this is just what's on camera.
The stories about Josh McDaniels are legendary. And we could have a three-hour show.
We could do a show on that. We could do a show on Matt Patricians, right? We could do a show on what's being said
with
here.
That, would you be willing to work for an organization that, quotes, treat you like crap if it meant the possibility of possibly winning a Super Bowl every year?
No.
Me either. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
And that's what is so interesting, because we knew about these complaints and we heard them when Josh McDaniels coached the Broncos, and they came out especially after he left. We heard them with Matt Patricia in Detroit. Players would leave and would frankly giddily talk about being out of that environment, and they were more than willing to go on record. I know there was a report by Killen Collar, Bleacher Report, about a year and a half ago about just what was going wrong in Detroit and everything that was wrong with the culture when Matt Patricia coached there. Basically, it comes down to this. Players will put up with a hell of a lot when they're winning Super Bowls. They won't do it forever, but they'll put up with a hell of a lot to get a big ring on their finger. But when the returns are less than stellar, as they were with the Patriots last year, all of a sudden, all those things that that are part of the Patriot way become things that players are right to question, because you start asking yourself, is this really how championships have to be won? Or is it, or frankly, is the whole Patriot way something that is just window dressing, deck chairs on the Titanic, and really the thing most responsible for the success of the Patriot way? It's not a thing, it's a person, and that's Tom Brady.
Going back to what Marsh said, he said, there's no BS, there's no fun. I'm going to share a line that I heard about 30 years ago, which sums this up. If work was fun, they'd call it fun. But they don't. They call it work. Now, you're playing a game, and there should be some levity. There should be some enjoyment out of what you are doing. I understand that. But if work was fun, they'd call it fun.
But there are ways to make...
Like a field day. Like having field day.
Yeah. But there are ways to make work.
And I mean that sincerely. That's not a knock on Fangio.
Not feeling like
having field day.
Not feeling like drudgery, though. That's the right. And that's the thing. And I think with the Patriots, it does become drudgery. But if you're getting that success week after week, if you're winning games and you have a chance to be there at the end and get that Super Bowl, you'll tolerate a certain amount of crap to get there.
Tom Brady, by being on that roster, allowed that environment not to be fun, not because he chose that, but because he was so good, Belichick could do whatever he wanted to. And he's finding out in a hurry, without Tom Brady, maybe his ways are outdated. And I will tell you this, we will find out this season. I'll give him a pass for last season. This season, we're going to see who Bill Belichick really is.
Right. Either he has a second-year quarterback in Cam Newton, who has a lot of experience coming in.
Right.
Or he's going to have his hand-picked quarterback, about whom he has better intel than anyone in the league. That's Mac Jones of Alabama, because his good buddy Nick Saban coached him down to Alabama. By the way, the Patriots defense back to full strength after losing some guys last year to COVID absences.
Right.
If they struggle this year, You're gonna know the whole Patriot Way thing was a mirage. The guy that made the Patriot Way possible was Tom Brady. Because look how things are going in Tampa in a considerably more loosey-goosey atmosphere.
You mean the Arians way?
Yeah.
I don't mean Arian as in German.
No, Bruce Arians, as in letting his players.
Danny thought I meant that.
Coming from a guy who's Jewish,
Danny, trust me, I did not mean it that way.
Bruce Arians lets his guys be themselves.
Then again, you have blonde hair and blue eyes, so I'm a little skittish about you just snickering at me when I said the Arian way.
Oh, yeah.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
Sometimes players have to go overseas or take measures into their own hands in order to get their feet back under them in professional sports. We've got a story like that in baseball right now. We'll touch on that on the other side right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Well, this was probably about 6 months ago. I was engaged, and I still am, actually. Not that anybody really cares, but I am. I'm going to be getting married next year. And I'm like, you know what? I better find a way to put together my estate plan soon, my living will soon. I talked to a number of different attorneys, and the gentleman I felt the most comfortable with by far was Dan McKenzie, and that's because he was able to tolerate me. He's got a very long wick. He answered all of my questions, and he was actually, all joking aside, he was great to work with. And the more we went through the process, the more I couldn't wait to get it done, because I knew once it was finished, I knew that my family was protected. And it's a great peace of mind knowing that if, God forbid, something happens. With that, Dan, how are you, my friend?
Good. How are you?
All right, Dan. So I am guessing you've had more than a few people sit in front of you and say, why do I need an estate plan and a will if I don't have a lot of assets? I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of real estate. What in the world would I need protected? What do you say to them?
Well, really, for one thing, it's about more than that. It's about more than just property distributions.
Right.
There's all kinds of stuff going on as far as just decisions for you in times of incapacity. And, you know, the most famous cases, of course, involve situations of medical distress and all those kinds of things. And then, really, when we are dealing with property distributions, sometimes those smaller estates are actually trickier to deal with because there just isn't a lot of room to kind of work with and get people's concerns addressed if there's multiple demands. So, and then the last thing is just that, you know, it's not just about your family, but also anybody you owe money to, right? I mean, your creditors also have a right to be involved in this process. And most of us, well, all of us will have creditors, you know, after we pass away. There's always bills that show up. And trying to figure out how to deal with those is an important part of it, too. So all of that together is just why really everyone should probably be thinking about it at one time or another.
Let's talk about something that you referenced. A living will. A lot of people probably don't even know what that is. For me, having a living will it might be the most important thing, because if I'm in a vegetative state, I know what I want to have happen to me. Then again, while I'm alive right now, I'm guessing those same people want that to happen to me anyway, but that's a whole nother topic. The living will, I mean, you get to decide instead of somebody else, right?
Yeah, I always tell people, look, if you've heard of a probate case, it's one of those, right? It's one of those situations.
What does probate mean for those that don't know what that means?
So probate is just any situation where a court is trying to determine whether someone else needs their assets managed for them. Now, it's most famous in the context, of course, when people pass away, but right now it's being made even more famous by Britney Spears, right? That's that conservatorship that she is famously trapped in is a probate case. A probate court is making those decisions because she supposedly can't make her own decisions for herself, and she is alive and functioning and a, you know, performing superstar. So, there you go.
So how can you avoid getting Britney Spears'd?
By putting documents in place. I'm skeptical that she would have had powers of attorney that named her father. They clearly had a tumultuous relationship up until this happened, and so it seems like she probably didn't have any documents in place saying, here's who I would want to handle stuff if I could not. And that's what we do. It's not, again, it's not just about property distributions at death. That obviously is important, but there's all kinds of situations where you need decisions made for you, and you just can't do it for any number of reasons. So, yeah, might be death, could be that you're just not in the country, right? I mean, there's all, right. all kinds of ways.
As I have said, I cannot recommend you enough. You were patient with me. I had a ton of questions. So did Mandy. And we got through the process. I'm glad it's over because now I feel protected. For those that are considering this and for those listening or watching on milehighsports.com, I'm telling you, you're going to want to think about doing something because you have no options when you're what, Dan? You have no options when you're what?
When you are deceased.
Oh, stop that. When you're dead. You have no options when you're dead. What is the process working with you?
Well, it usually is just a few meetings. We just have a meeting to get to know each other, make sure we can help you. Then we have a meeting to make sure that we understand your assets and your desires and what you want to do and get the right plan in place and the right documents. And then a last meeting just to go over everything, make sure we got it all set. So kind of a three-meeting process. And, you know, payments are kind of spread out naturally over that process, so it's not all at one time. And, we try and keep it manageable and also custom to the person and not just one plan for everybody. And, really make sure that we're addressing your concerns.
How do people get a hold of you?
They can call us at 303-578-2745 or go to themckenziefirm.com.
Thanks, Dan. Have a great day.
Thank you.
See you, man. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
Are you ready?
Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, ex-Pittsburgh Pirates rookie first baseman Will Craig is seeking a fresh start with the KBO. Craig was, in fact, the first baseman who chased Javi Baez back to home plate along the first baseline in that video that went viral a couple months ago on a routine ground ball. The play resulted in a run and Baez reaching second base, and all that Craig needed to do was put his foot on first. So a little bit of an unfortunate turn of events there for him, but he's trying to get back on the horse in the KBO. Are there any Denver athletes that you can think of who bounced back after a significantly embarrassing moment on the field?
Ooh. Raheem Moore continued his career.
Yes.
And that's probably the best thing that could have happened to him. His career continued.
And actually, he was...
Unlike Rock Alexander, who went into the witness relocation program following that loss to the Colts in the playoffs.
And actually, he was having a really good season in 2013 before he had, I believe it was compartment syndrome in his leg. And after that, really wasn't the same player. That actually was more damaging to him and his long-term outlook than that one play that day
right
against the Ravens that people really don't like it when you bring up.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can try it before you buy, meaning you can try out any appliance before you buy it. You can't do that in the big box stores. Head on over to Mountain High Appliance, best in the business, best sales staff, best pricing, high-end stuff, stuff to fit your budget. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, ESPN's Mike Clay projects what the Broncos pass rushers will do this season. What does he think? I can promise you he is far from complimentary, and you'll hear why next.
And with the radio blasting, goes cruising just as fast as she can now, and she'll have fun, fun, fun too.